Welcome to another inspirational message from Atmosphere Church. For more content like this, visit atmospherechurch.com.
Blessing didn't come. I bet you he was praying every day, saying, God, I want that blessing to come into my life. When will it come? But all of a sudden, he got frustrated, and he looked outside of God for the solution. And the solution was, as we read in the Word of God, that he looked for a servant, got the servant pregnant, and then had a son called Ishmael. And this son was not the son of the promise. But this is what happens. When you look for a solution outside of God, you give birth to things that weren't blessed. When you look outside of God, when you act outside of your timing, you act on what is not blessed. I've seen people try to jump into ministry way too soon, and because they acted outside of their season, it wasn't blessed. And so what is it here that I'm trying to say? Wait on the Lord, because waiting on God has a purpose to it. God has a purpose to it, okay? Now I get it. A lot of the time, when we're waiting on God, sometimes what we're waiting on is to be set free or to be delivered from sufferings, from things that are going on in our life that is just tough to deal with. You know, how many guys have suffered before? Yeah, or are going through sufferings right now. I believe all of us are going through sufferings or have gone through a very difficult trial in our life. I want to tell you about a remarkable book, and it's called the Book of Job. Okay, this book is remarkable because Job asks a question and it doesn't get answered in the end. It's crazy. The book of Job doesn't have an answer to it. And let me get to this. Job's question was this: God, why is this happening to me? He asked that. And he says, God, why is this happening to me? I lost my wife. I lost my children. I lost my business. I've lost everything, even my health. Everything is gone. And in those moments of sufferings, we can say, God, I've been waiting on you. And I'm seeking deliverance. And God, how can I make sense that I'm doing everything right? I'm being obedient and yet everything goes wrong, oh God. I'm being obedient and the house of peace doesn't grow. I'm being obedient and the discipleship doesn't grow. I'm being obedient and the church doesn't grow. And we get frustrated and we start saying, God, why me? And so his friends, Job's friends, they come up to him and start saying, well, you know, Job, perhaps you're a sinner. And, you know, as we know, when you sin, there's consequences. So perhaps, Job, you have been sinning. And Job says no. And I know this sounds prideful, but actually God says it. Job is righteous. God said it of him. And so Job, it wasn't sin that caused that punishment or whatever it was, the calamity, the trauma in his life. It wasn't sin. And so his friends start trying to discover, what is it then? Is it your pride, Job? What is it, your self-righteousness, Job? What is it that has caused this pain in your life, this suffering in your life? And finally, God answers. Well, he doesn't answer. He just shows up to Job and says, I am God. And I am sovereign. And I can do all things, but I want you to know one thing, that I'm also control of everything. While you are suffering right now, I already have the answer for you. And he asked Job, he says, Job, were you there when I created the universe? Job, were you there to question me why anything is happening in society and life or why there is suffering? I am God. And not only that, he says this, he says, do you even know of the beast that I take care of? While we are here in Canada, you know, God is taking care of people in another country. He's taking care of animals in a different place. He's making sure that stars in the universe that we can't even see are in its right alignment. God takes care of everything. And he says, if I'm in control of the universe, Job, how am I not in control of your life? Everything is in my hands, Job. So I'm not going to give you the answer of why you're suffering. Instead, I'm going to point you to the Redeemer called Jesus Christ. And he is the one that will deliver you from all your situations, all your sufferings. Hey, God brings the Redeemer. And in that moment, Job says, well, God, now I have seen you with my eyes. I have come to know you, God. And now I recognize that, God, even if you strike me down, even if you kill me, God, I will continue to believe in you. That That's wonderful. This is the aspect that waiting does for our life. But I want you, this is the exciting part, okay? Suffering, we suffer in life. But watch this, right after Job claims and says, you know what, God, I recognize that you are above all things, and I'm not going to understand everything. I'm not going to understand why there's evil or suffering in the world. I'm not going to know all of the answers, but God, I recognize that you are God. And you know how God responds then? Then the Bible says that suddenly, like one day after the other, Job was given double of what was lost to him. Double. And right now, you and I, we're crying over the things that we have lost right now, crying over the things that perhaps we are struggling with, suffering with. God, why haven't I gotten my provision? Why haven't I gotten my blessing? Well, let me tell you something, that God works in an operation called the sudden moment, in the suddenly. God works in the suddenly. And I don't know about you, but I need the suddenly of God to come into my finances, the suddenly of God to come into my business, into my family, into my church. I need the suddenly of God. What's exciting is this, that in the suddenly, those who are last become the first. Those in the suddenly is those who are anonymous become famous, are exalted up. Those who are pushed and marginalized then are graduated into exaltation. In the suddenly. In the sudden. And I tell you this right now, that there's an all of a sudden moment that's going to come into your life. It's going to come into your life. And you know why it's called the suddenly? This is the beautiful part. It's called suddenly because it comes rushing swiftly. It comes quickly. It just shifts everything in your life, and it's unexpected. And I believe that this is a word that God has been telling me. He's saying the suddenly is coming for this ministry. The suddenly. Because I know a lot of us here, a lot of us, and I hope all of us here have been praying, God, the revival. We want the revival in this place. The revival happens all of a sudden. It happens all of a sudden. If you want proof of that is if you look in the book of Acts, the moment, and it wasn't a beautiful setting. Now watch this. If in the book of Acts, the 120 individuals were gathered up together in a room. But let me tell you, it wasn't the best moment for the church at that time. To give you a bit of context, their mentor had just left them. Okay? Not only that, but they were being persecuted. One of their co-disciples betrayed them. They weren't loved by society. They were rejected by society. And moreover, this was the church that had the first fruits of Jesus and wasn't growing. It grew to a max of like 120. It wasn't growing. And this, and Jesus promised us this is going to be a global movement. Kind of like those churches that are tiny and called international. God gave me the promise of international, but I don't see it, God. I don't see it. But Jesus just said, wait. Wait for my spirit. And you know what? Quite a while they were waiting there in Jerusalem. Quite a while they were waiting, and they were just saying, God, when is this movement going to start? God, when is there going to be a shift in our lives? When is our church going to grow? When are we going to be anointed? When are we going to be able to succeed in our lives? And all of a sudden, the Bible says, suddenly, the Spirit of God came like that, like a sound of a rushing wind. And when the Holy Spirit came, the suddenly start happening. Suddenly, Peter knew how to preach. And I tell you, some people here don't know how to preach right now, but suddenly you are going to know what to say. You're not going to know the solution, but right in the suddenly, the solution comes. Not only that, but suddenly, thousands of souls gave their lives to Christ. This is crazy. This is all of the sudden. They had been praying and praying and doing strategies after strategies, but it just required one suddenly for the entire church to go into a revival. And so I don't know about you, I'm excited about that, and I'm waiting for that suddenly moment. Whew. I have a confession to make. The sudden is about to hit my life, and it's about to hit your life as well. Yeah, come on. It's about to hit your life. You've been waiting for the sudden for a while. Suddenly for you to get that job that you've been crying out for. Suddenly for you to open up that business that you've been praying for. Suddenly for you to have that courage to open the discipleship you've been wanting to open. The sudden has come. It has arrived. It is here. Now watch this. Okay? So this is, speaking about waiting on the Lord, because it's so hard to wait on God. But Jesus gives us an idea of what we have to do while we are waiting for the suddenly to happen. He gives this parable called the parable of the 10 virgins. Okay? And this parable is a very famous parable that he explains about the second coming. But we learn some principles here of how to wait on God. Watch this. Jesus says that there was 10 virgins. 5 of them were foolish. I don't call them foolish. The Bible says it. They were foolish virgins. And then the other 5 were wise ones. Okay? And all of them attended a wedding. They were all invited to a wedding. And notice this, that all of them, the groom had already said, I'm going to arrive, I don't know at what time, but I'm going to arrive at some point, okay? So you guys just wait for me. All of a sudden, these 10 virgins had the same opportunity to be able to gather oil for their lampstand. Because in those days, whenever it was dark, they don't have lights like you and I. They actually had lampstands where you would put in oil in there. So what they had to do is that they had to collect and gather oil or buy oil or purchase oil. And then they would put it into their lampstand. So the foolish ones just had enough, to last them for a little while. But the other 5, the Bible says, that they carried extra. They had extra oil on them. And this is the beautiful part, because to me, after all you and I have been through, I believe you guys carry the extra oil. Because if not, you would not have lasted. After all the problems, the situations, the circumstances we've all been through, and you're still alive, you know, you're burnt, but you're still here. Man, you have that extra oil. But watch this. The 5 virgins that were foolish, the Bible says, they didn't have their eyes set on the groom, because the groom had already told them, I'm going to come at some point. They had their eyes set on the party, just enough to last the party. And if the groom didn't come, okay, well, whatever. But they had enough oil for the party. And just the same way, there are some people who perhaps are at church just because of the party, just for the hype, just for the emotion of it. And they're just here for that. But the wise virgins, they had their eyes set on the groom. When is the groom going to come? Because party does not satisfy me. And I tell you this, once you've experienced a touch of the Holy Spirit, hype does not match. It doesn't satisfy you. I've gone to places that are hyped up, but I'm like, Holy Spirit, I've tasted you. I want to go where you are. I want to be where you are, Holy Spirit. I've tasted you. And that's the thing, that these 5 virgins that were foolish, they were just there for the community aspect, for the party aspect, but they weren't there for the groom. And not only that, the Bible says that these 5 foolish then came to beg, and they were dependent on the oil of the wise virgins. They were depending on their oil. In the same way, the foolish virgins is comparable to people who don't have their own anointing. They're always looking for the extra oil off of someone else. When they are hyped up, when they are full of fire, when they are anointed, when they are going crazy, for God, so am I. But when they are going down, and when everything else is going down, then I dwindle away as well. Where is your oil? And I challenge you today, get your own oil. Get your own anointing. Have your own relationship with God. That's important for our lives, because you're not going to last off of my anointing. You're only going to last with your own relationship with God. And so look at this. So the 5 virgins that had the extra oil, the only reason they had that extra oil, and let me ask you this, how is oil produced? How is oil produced back in the day? That oil was produced really by olives. And what has to be done to an olive to extract oil to it? You have to crush that oil, that olive, to produce oil. These wise virgins, what differentiated them from the foolish ones was that they had gone through stuff. They had gone through situations. They had been crushed in their life. They had been humbled down. And you know what humbles you? The waiting on the Lord. That's what humbles you very quickly. Waiting on God. That's what humbles us, because it makes us recognize that we're not in control of anything. I don't know who has lied to you. I don't know who has told you otherwise, but you don't control anything in your life. It is God Almighty that when we are obedient to Him and when we surrender our lives to Him, everything falls into place. The Bible even says that whatever goes wrong in our life, God works everything out for our good, but for those who love Him. And so here's the thing. If you and I are like Job and saying, God, I've been obedient. God, I haven't sinned for a while, God, so why did this come to my life? God, I've been so good. I've been going to church faithfully. I've been tithing faithfully. And yet, why did this come to my life? Let me tell you this, that doing everything right doesn't guarantee that your life will be perfect. And that's the answer that we see in the book of Job, that sometimes suffering comes because life sometimes sucks. And life sometimes gets tough and we can't make sense of it. But the comfort here is that God is the answer and the solution, that He can bring a suddenly that changes and shifts everything in our life. Isn't that so good? God is such a good God that no matter what has come to our life, if I've been obedient, I know that first it was filtered through the perfect hand and will of God first. Notice that Satan, before he attacked Job's life, God first allowed it. Why? Because He was going to use it for a specific purpose. And unfortunately, we get frustrated because we don't realize that God's plans are bigger than you and I. And while we're worrying about personal issues, God is worrying about global issues. It's some perfect plan that God has that one day He'll reveal it to us. But I want to tell you that God's plans are greater than you and I. And so what do you and I have to do? We have to just surrender to God. And let me tell you this. There are people in the Bible that surrender to God's timing. The Bible says this, that the sons of Issachar were knowing and understanding of the times. They were understanding of the times. And this is beautiful, especially if you want to move in prophecy. Receive that. Because knowing the times is such a good anointing to have. Such a good mantle to move under. Let me tell you why. Because whether we realize this or not, and I've been focusing on this a lot lately, because I feel like this has to be drilled down into our mind. The Holy Spirit is not an energy or a force. The Holy Spirit is a person. And He's not just a person. He's not just a friend like a lot of us think. He is God. He's very much as God as Jesus is and as the Father is. And so you and I can't control Holy Spirit. I can't just say, Holy Spirit, go right there. And He goes. No. The difference that we see in the book of Acts is this. Holy Spirit said, go, and so I went. That was the order. Nowadays, it's what I say happens. But back in the day, it was whatever the Holy Spirit said for me to do, that's what I did. And so the order needs to shift now. We need to realize that Holy Spirit is Lord, and He is governor, He is commander, He is in control of my life. So what should I do? I should surrender to His time. I need to surrender to His time because His timing is always perfect. And get this, these sons of Issachar, you know why they were so gifted? You know why they could always, whatever they said happen? It's not that they had the power to make things happen. It's just that they were understanding of God's time and they knew it was going to happen. They were understanding of His will and what He was about to do, that when they released it, God did it because it was in His mind to do it. See, God says that. He says, before I'm about to act, first I reveal it to my prophets. I reveal it first to them, but I reveal it to those who are surrendered to my schedule and my agenda. How many of you guys want to surrender to God's schedule and God's agenda? His timing is perfect. And I know, and I get it. Perhaps right now, as I'm speaking, we're saying, God, right now would be a perfect time for You to show up. God, right now would be a great time, a great season for You to show up. But let me tell you that God has His own timing. He knows when He's going to show up. And it's going to be like a blink of an eye. It's going to be a sudden movement that we're going to see in this place. And a lot of you guys are moving from anonymity to being exalted by God. Do you guys believe that? I believe it. And And notice this. So a lot of us are frustrated, and we're saying, God, you know, I feel that right now would be a perfect time, a perfect season for you to show up in my life. But let me tell you this. While we're waiting on God, we should start switching our mindset and realizing that if God is truly in control, if God knows what's going to happen in my life and he has already planned it out, my mind needs to change. I'm not going to let circumstances define my life. I'm going to define my circumstances. I'm going to tell my circumstances what they are. While the circumstances telling me that I'm broken or that I don't have enough or that I'm not worthy, that's what circumstances telling me. But circumstances isn't going to define me. I will define the problem. I will define the circumstance and say, circumstance, you're just temporary. You're just my stepping stone for my growth stage. You're just there to make me grow in my character. You're just there to allow me to move into my new dimension. And I tell you this, when your mindset changes in that way and realizing, you know what, God, I just trust in you. And right now what I'm going to do is just define my circumstances and start declaring that this isn't going to be a forever thing in my life. That frustration leaves from your life. So many times I've been frustrated. God, why isn't it happening right now? And there's a special word for it. God calls it kairos. Say kairos with me. Okay, kairos is a Greek word. And this word kairos is the timing of God. Okay? This is the sudden moments. Kairos is the suddenly of God, where God operates and does things that are just unprecedented. He does things that was never expected for it to be done. This is the kairos of God. But I want you to realize something, that kairos has nothing to do with duration. It has to do with quality. Let me say that again. Because normal time, how do we tell time? It's through duration, right? 5 minutes has gone by. That is chronological time. It's measured by duration. But kairos isn't measured by how long it lasts. It's measured by the glory, quality. God doesn't need 5 minutes when he can just use 5 seconds to change this nation. God doesn't need to speak 1,000 words when 1 word can wreck you. It is not the duration, it is the quality. It is the quality. And I believe that kairos is coming, and there's a quality moment that is coming to this place. Okay? How many of you guys believe it? Amen. I'm excited for that. Now, the kairos moments are precious. The kairos moments are the precious moments that we should wait for and we should long for. These moments open up something called opportunity. When we felt that all the doors were closed, when we felt that there was no way out, when we felt like that we were at the bottom of life, that we've already bottomed out. In that moment, kairos opens a door of opportunity. And all God asks is, are you ready? Are you willing to say, here I am? You know, there's a special meaning to the word here I am. You know, here I am, what it really means is this: God, I'm available. God, I'm available. When we say, God, here I am, it's God, I'm available. Because God doesn't look for the capable, he looks for the available. He looks for those people who are saying, God, I'm willing and I'm available and I'm willing to do it. I surrender my schedule to you, God. I surrender my time to you, God, for you to do whatever you want me to do. So, kairos, it opens up a door of opportunity. And for us to actually, in that moment, to say, God, I accept that opportunity and I take it. Because opportunities don't last forever. Opportunities are just moments. Let me ask you this. How many opportunities have we lost in life because of fear? Because we were worried? Maybe we were, you know, we doubted ourselves. How many opportunities have we lost? And let me tell you, opportunities are just momentary. They're just kairos of God. They're just seasons of God. And so I tell you this, that when revival comes, when the suddenly comes, you better suddenly get into the movement. Because that opportunity can, just like Pastor Eminem says, you only get one shot, do not miss your chance to go. This opportunity comes once in a lifetime. If you won't listen to me, you'll listen to that pastor. Wait on the Lord. So how do we wait on God? I want to give you these keys. Number one is this: position yourself for the kairos of God. When you wait on God, position yourself. That means don't go anywhere. Stay put. Remain and wait on the Lord. And I'm talking about posture. I'm talking about your disposition. God, I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying put in my faith. I'm remaining strong in my faith. I'm not going to let anything falter my faith. So that's number one. Position yourself for the kairos. Number two is this. And we're talking about, this weekend is Thanksgiving. Don't neglect what the Lord has done already in your life. Many times, because we're looking for tomorrow's blessing, we forget the blessing that is in our hands already. And so how do I wait for the opportunity of God and the kairos of God? Well, I better be in gratefulness for what God has done in my life already. Amen. So that's number two. Don't neglect what the Lord has done already. And number three is this: become a devotional person. Become devotional, because when you are constantly seeking the Lord, you will become aware of His voice. You know when He will speak. You know when He acts. Jesus says that my sheep know my voice. And we only know His voice because we have been spending time studying His voice, knowing what it sounds like. Amen. So now, this is something that as I was praying today for the message, I felt the Holy Spirit tell me this answer, because I was like, Holy Spirit, we are waiting for you. We've been waiting, God. We've been obedient to you. We've been doing crazy things for you, Lord. We've been fasting for you, and we've been doing so many things for you. And I asked Him genuinely. I said, Holy Spirit, why hasn't that revival come yet? Why hasn't it come? And maybe just like Job, I didn't get an answer. Instead, what I got was the Holy Spirit said, I'm a superhero and I like dramatic entrances. That's all I got. Take it as you want it. And what I understood it is as this, that the Holy Spirit likes that damsel in distress type of moment. When everything is wrong, when there's discomfort, well, guess what? He's called a comforter. When everything has gone down and kaput, that's when Holy Spirit says, this is my moment to show up as a superhero. This is my moment to show up and show off. This is my moment to demonstrate to my people that I am God Almighty, that I can do all things, no matter how our situations are, no matter if we feel like there's nothing we can do right now in this season. God, we've tried it all. God, we've done it all. Well, the only thing that we need is God, because you know what? When we are trying to do something spiritual, doesn't it make sense that it requires only the Holy Spirit to do it? Only the Holy Spirit can fill a spiritual gap. And so if we're asking for revival, guess who we need? So we need Holy Spirit to come in the suddenly. And I tell you this, a suddenly is coming. Do not move. Do not go. Do not move yourself from the faith of God. Remain in your faith. Remain strong in your faith, because God is coming in a suddenly. No one wants to be a part of the church before the suddenly. Everyone wants to be a part of the church after the suddenly. But I want to tell you this, and I'll finish off with this, that as I had felt a frustration as in terms of saying, God, I want it to happen now. God, I want this to happen now, right now, in this season. I want it to happen right now, God. I want us to explode in growth right now. I want anointing right now. I want everything to happen right now. But this is something I need to realize, just like Job, I'm not in control of God's hands. I need to recognize that God does things when He wants it. But what I need to do is position myself. And second of all is this. A lot of us, because we're waiting for the event to happen, between now and the event, we live in a time zone called depression. And I felt so convicted in my heart to tell some of you guys this. You're waiting for the breakthrough, and you're waiting for the deliverance, you're waiting for the blessing, whatever it is that you're waiting for, the suddenly that you're waiting for. Between now And then there is something called the Christian walk. And God doesn't want to put off for you to put off your joy until the event. Be happy now. Be joyful now. Joy is a decision. Did you know that? Joy is a decision. So choose to be joyful now. Although I'll rejoice when the event happens, when I receive the blessing, when I go into the breakthrough, I'm going to rejoice. But right now, I'm not going to be frustrated, people. I'm going to be happy. This is my Christian walk. God is developing my life right now. God is working in me. I'm under construction right now. I might not be perfect. Not everything is going perfect in my life, but guess what? I'm rejoicing in God. I'm choosing to be happy right now. I'm not waiting for anything else to come into my life to complete me. Jesus has completed me already, and I'm already excited. I'm already pumped up. I don't need someone else to come and pump up joy in my life. Jesus is my joy. He has filled me up with joy. And so I'm excited in this season. I don't know about you, but get excited. Get excited. Whether right now everything is going bad in your life right now, get excited, because God suddenly is on its way. Suddenly that breakthrough will come. Suddenly that financial breakthrough is coming. Suddenly you get that job that you want. I don't know if there's people receiving this right now, but close your eyes, lift up your hands. God is saying the suddenly is coming to your life. Suddenly the healing is coming. Suddenly the breakthrough comes. Hey, suddenly that healing that you've been waiting for many years is coming. Woo! There he is. There he is. Hey, hey, suddenly that depression is gone. Suddenly that sadness is gone. Suddenly we hit that growth spurt in this church. Suddenly our worship is beginning to move and shift atmospheres. Suddenly, hey. Hey, who's jumping into this suddenly? Who's jumping into this suddenly? Hey, hey, like the sons of Isaac are. Yeah, just remain right there. God is operating in our mindsets, in our mentalities. I'm going to dare to say this. Begin to destroy your pride, saying you are in control of everything. If you are in control of everything, why isn't everything going your way? You are not in control. So surrender to the one that is. Just like Job, why are we so prideful to come to God and say, God, why me? Why is this happening to me? Why me? Why my ministry? Or why me? My family, God? I've done everything right. Well, God says, everything that has come to your life has been filtered through my mind and my hands, my perfect will. And I have an answer. I have a solution waiting for you. I'm not a reactive God. I'm a proactive God. I've already come up with the solution. I've already come up with the breakthrough. I've already ended the work of the enemy. Whew. While you are waiting for victory, victory has been done 2,000 years ago on the cross. Whew, this is some word that some people needed today.